Thank you, David. I would like to preface my message with just two announcements. First of all, I have had one approach me regarding baptism. If you happen to be here this morning and you are interested in being baptized, by all means, see me. We'd like to get four or five at least before we fill the tank. So we are planning a baptismal class in the near future and a course. Now, also, I have an announcement for four men. And the announcement is for Obi and Hoppy and Peter Hammond and Kurt Carlson. If you would like, you may remove your jackets. That's okay, isn't it, David, if we have them remove their jackets? Are you going down to get your mother this week? Following week, okay. Let's remember Joanne then as she travels down in prayer, Virginia. Number in our fellowship that need to be prayed for. Going to ask her this time that we look to the Lord in prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for who you are and what you have done. We thank you, Lord, that any moment, at any time, under any circumstances, we can come before you in prayer. And we come before you this morning thanking you that when we come, we can enter into your very presence, know that you will hear us, and know that you will answer our prayers. As we look on the list of those who are sick, it's long and lengthy. We don't understand many of these things, but Heavenly Father, we learned long ago that we can trust you in difficult times. And I just pray for these that are on this list and many that would like to be with us but cannot because of illness, that you might meet their need even at this very moment. I pray, Lord, that by your presence and by your promises and by your power, that you will just minister to them. Might they feel each and every one of these things. We thank you, Lord, for these who have come on this Sunday, on this beautiful day, this first day of the week. And we have come not to be entertained, but to listen to the voice of God speak to each and every one of us. And I pray, Lord, that in the stillness of the moments before us, that you would speak. And by the end of this hour, may we have been confronted by your Spirit. Give us a good service. And as we capstone it with Holy Communion, I pray, Lord, that each and every one of us will be brought closer to you. And in that we pray and we'll give you the praise. For we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Now this morning I'm going to ask you to take your Bibles and turn with me once again to St. John chapter 18. And in the verses that David read, we find in the scene before us that Jesus is on trial before Pilate. And our theme is what has ever happened to truth. And our text is found in the words of verses 37 and 38. Jesus is speaking to Pilate. He's answering Pilate, and he said, "To this end was I born, and for this cause came I into the world, that I should bear witness unto the truth." And there you have the first mention of truth. "Everyone that is of the truth heareth my voice." And Pilate saith unto him, "What is truth?" And that's what we want to look at. If I were to characterize the world in which we live, I would say that it is a world of skepticism, unbelief, relativism, and self-indulgence. Man today, without any question, is living without God. As a matter of fact, man is doing as he jolly well pleases. And he leaves God out of his life. And this way of living by so many has literally obscured them to the reality and the understanding of real truth. There are thousands of people today that are no longer sensitive to truth. And often they are not able to recognize it when it's right before them. There's a confusion today regarding truth. and there's no clarity. And these are the days in which we live. Look at Pilate, the Roman governor, as Jesus stands before him. In verse 38, he asks Jesus this question: what is truth? Though the man of truth stood right before him, he did not recognize it. Or at least, if he did, he chose to reject him. And the same is true of man today. For amidst all of the philosophies that are floating around, and there are many, we find that modern man has neglected the source of all truth, who is the unchangeable God, who has revealed himself in Jesus Christ, and also in his infallible word, the Holy Bible. And central to the message of the Bible is the assertion that God is truth. Now, the Word of God teaches this truth, that God came in the flesh, in the person of Jesus Christ. Now, that Christ declared in John 14, 6, I am the way, the truth, and the life. And in his high priestly prayer in John chapter 17, verse 17, Jesus proclaims, sanctify them through thy truth, thy word is truth. And this same Jesus referred to the coming of the Holy Spirit as the Spirit of truth, who will guide you and I into all truth. Now, from this information that I have just read, we may come to the conclusion of these important facts regarding truth. God is truth. All truth is God's truth. And there is no truth outside of God. And if you want to find God's truth, you'll find it in that infallible book that you have in your hands, the Holy Bible. And God has revealed all that we need to know, all truth, about all various subjects, theologically speaking. And we can have that truth and know that truth. Now, consider to begin with what I'm going to call the absence of truth as exhibited in Pilate's life. Notice again the question there in verse 38. What is truth? And that's an important question. There stood Jesus before Pilate, whom the Apostle John described in chapter 1, verse 14, as being full of grace and truth. And in verse 17 of the first chapter of the Gospel of John, grace and truth came by Jesus Christ. Now there you have two very important statements regarding Christ. He was full of truth, and grace and truth came when he appeared upon the scene. And yet Pilate, because of expediency, was not willing to deal with the truth, nor heed the truth. And that was his downfall. And I want to add, that is going to be your downfall if you and I do not give respectful attention to the man who was standing beside Pilate, because he's the man of truth. What happened to Pilate has happened to many today. The Apostle Paul predicted that the day would come when man would not be willing to listen, to hear, to accept the truth. In 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 34, we read these words: for the time will come when they will not put up with sound doctrine or truthful teaching. Instead, to suit their own desires, they will gather around them a great number of teachers to say what their itching ears want to hear. They will turn their ears away from the truth and turn aside to myths. I like the way that Phillips renders the latter part of that verse when he says, but wander off after man-made fictions. In other words, the time's going to come. And it just might be that the time is here today. Right at this very moment, we are living in these times. When people won't accept the truth, but will look for teaching that will suit their own desires. Now let me illustrate. Some people today reject the biblical teaching that those who engage in sexual relationships outside of marriage are committing sin and one day will be judged by Almighty God. Now, there's scores of people that just don't accept that teaching. So what do? Well, they look for a teacher who declares the sexual standards in the Bible are not binding in today's world. But give attention to the truthful teaching from God's Word, what Jesus and the writers said regarding marriage and sex. Give honor to marriage. Now that's what the Bible says, and we aren't honoring marriage today. One in two marriages are ending in divorce, and thousands of young people are living together without being married. As a matter of fact, I've heard some say they aren't even going to get married. And the biblical command is to honor, give honor to marriage, and remain faithful to one another in marriage. God will surely judge people who are immoral and those who commit adultery. Now, in the concluding words of the writer of Hebrews in the 13th chapter, the author calls for sexual purity in which marriage is held in high esteem. Now, here we have God's truth on marriage. God's truth on marriage and sex. And yet there are scores of people today that are not willing to listen to the truth. Or let me give you another example of the popular belief which states, all roads lead to God. Now, you and I have heard that. There are a number of churches in the community that preach that. All roads lead to God. As someone has stated, it's like climbing a mountain. You can start anywhere at the base, but eventually everyone comes to the same place at the top. So it really doesn't matter which road you take, what church you attend, whether you believe the Bible or not. We live in a day of universalism. God loves everybody, and just live as you please, and at the end, God in His love is going to allow everyone to enter into heaven. Because there are many ways to God. Charles Colson, a modern-day prophet, writes of this trend when he states, and I quote, he said, instead of adhering to a specific set of doctrines, they feel free to pick and choose those from all of the various belief systems or to create their own tailor-made religion. And that's what many people are doing today. If they don't believe the doctrines of the Bible, then they'll just make up their own. And yet the words of Jesus still stand. In John 14:6, I am the way, the truth, and the life. And no man cometh unto the Father but by me. Now that's what Jesus said. And here we find the truth that Jesus is not one way among many to God the Father, but He's the only way. And there's no other way. Now that's the truth. And yet many people do not believe it. Now what do we do in times like these? When there is the truth and it's being confused and some people can't tell what is truth and what is error. In times like these, you and I must faithfully and diligently do as the Apostle Jude told each and every one of us as believers. In Jude 3, contend earnestly for the faith which was once delivered unto the saints. Now those words, contend for the faith, refer to that body of truth believed by those first century Christians. and lived out in the power of the Holy Spirit. And it's found in the Word of God. Now, why did Jude give this admonition to each and every one of us? Because he recognized that the day was going to come in which you and I are going to live, and there will be people that will see the truth, and yet they'll deny the truth. And in order for you and I to make sure that we hold tenaciously on to the truth, we've got to know what the truth is and where it's found. So as we read the Bible, we begin to recognize that we must carefully analyze and evaluate in the light of the Scriptures everything that we hear and everything that we read. And that's why God's Word exhorts us to study the Scriptures, test what we hear, and become strong in the faith. Because there are going to be those that are going to deny the faith, they aren't going to be interested, and they're going to be looking for teachers who will lead them down the path of what they believe. I can remember about 3 years ago, we had a young couple attend Second Baptist Church, and they were here in the morning service. And it was on the 4th of July Sunday. And it was one of those sermons that you preach on 4th of July where you go back in the history of the country and you try to tell what might be wrong with the country and where we have deviated from God's will. And this young couple, I followed them right through the service. And it was a hard service to preach because much that was being preached, I knew that people didn't want to hear. As a matter of fact, I did touch on homosexuality and what was wrong with it. And I knew when we closed the service that this couple we would not see again. And we didn't. And we haven't. Because people are coming to church today, they're listening for what they want to hear. And with their itching ears, they want someone to tell them the way they want to live. And Jude says, you and I as Christians, we need to study the Scriptures. We need to know what the Bible says. So the people that we meet, like Paul said to Timothy, we need gently to correct those who are in error so that they may know the truth and come to their senses and escape the snare of the devil. Now that's what Paul was telling young Timothy. And the words that Paul gave Timothy, they're still true today. Gustafson was right when he said, since savage wolves, consumed with greed, seek simple sheep on which to feed, wise are those weary lambs who graze close by the shepherd's watchful gaze. And if you and I are willing to stay close to Christ and His Word, He will be able to protect us. So here we see Pilate, this shrewd Roman politician. He asked the right question of the right person. What is truth? And the answer was standing right in front of him. But instead of falling to his knees in repentance and confession and faith, he washed his hands of the whole matter of dealing with the truth. And you know, sooner or later, each and every one of us, we're going to find ourselves standing or right in where Pilate was standing, where we must decide if Jesus Christ is really what he claimed to be, the way, the truth, and the life. And if what Jesus said is really true, that no man cometh unto the Father but by me, we're going to have to decide on that issue. And that issue is going to determine your destiny. And where you're going to spend it. Because we ought to get it down. Not all roads lead to God. As many people claim, there's only one true way, and Jesus Christ is his name. There's only one. And there was the reality of truth that Pilate had to deal with, standing right before him. And he rejected it. Well, having looked at the absence of truth as exhibited in the life of Pilate, let me call your attention this morning to the attributes of truth that Pilate never knew. Notice again, once again, the question that was raised in verse 38. What is truth? And do you know that same question is being asked by mankind today? What is truth? What is the way? What is real truth? How can I know it? What is it like? Once we have concluded ourselves with a certainty that God's truth is found in God's word, then we can answer the question that Pilate asked Jesus. Because truth has the same characteristics that we give to God. Since there is no truth outside of God, then the attributes that we give to describe God are the same attributes that we give to describe truth. And if any one of these attributes are absent, then we do not have truth. We only have a delusion of truth. It is a deceitful form of truth. If any of these four characteristics are not found in what you call truth, then it's not truth. And you and I are deceiving ourselves. Well, let's mention them. For one thing, truth is eternal. You ought to get that down if you're taking notes. In Psalm 100, verse 5, the psalmist said, "For the Lord is good, his mercy is everlasting," now get this, "and his truth endureth to all generations." Now what we learn from that, those words is, are these truths. Truth is not transitory or temporary. It is eternal. What is true today is going to be true tomorrow and is going to be true throughout all eternity. It's not going to change. It has no beginning and it has no ending. Since God is eternal, then truth is eternal. It's never going to change. It's eternal. What you find in the Bible and you read in the Bible is eternal truth. Secondly, truth is unchangeable. In Malachi chapter 3, verse 6, we read these words about God. "For I am the Lord, and I change not." God never changes. He's unchangeable. We come to the New Testament, and we read in Hebrews chapter 13, verse 8, these words about His Son, the Son of God, Jesus. Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Since Jesus is God, and God and truth are identical, and since God does not change, then truth does not change. It is the same immutable truth that always was and always will be. You don't have to have any refining process regarding truth. Truth is unchangeable. Now that presents a problem. Because like Pilate in our text, there are scores of people today that feel that truth is relative. And it may change like the wind. In other words, truth is whatever the majority of people believe it to be at any given time. Something that was true yesterday may not be true today. But even worse, they teach that what is true for you might not necessarily be true for me. It changes according to the situation. Thus, stealing, adultery, lying, or whatever sin you may want to name are sometimes good and acceptable depending on the circumstances. And this is what we call situational ethics. It all depends on where you are and where you happen to be. And yet you and I know that such a view makes truth a mockery, and it goes right against the clear teaching of the Word of God, because the Bible teaches us the fact that truth is not only eternal, but it is unchangeable. And when you do not find those two characteristics in truth, then you don't have truth. You have a deception of truth that someone is trying to teach you. Another characteristic. Truth is always absolute. Listen to these words of the psalmist in Psalm 119, verse 89. Forever, O Lord, thy word is settled in heaven. I like the way that the NIV renders those words. Your word, O Lord, is eternal. It stands firm in the heavens. Now, out of those words that I just read, consider what the psalmist is saying there. When he uses the word forever, that means beyond time. Forever. Thy word is settled. You can't change it on Monday and get a different version on Tuesday. It's forever settled regarding time. When he uses the word is settled, it means beyond circumstances. It's settled. You can't change it. And when he uses the word in heaven, that means any place in the whole universe. In other words, truth is not dependent upon time, place, or circumstances. It is above all these. Truth is truth at all times, in every place, and under all circumstances. It never changes. And then truth is indivisible. By that I mean it cannot be separated into parts. It is a unified whole. It can never be in conflict with itself. There is absolutely no contradictions or fragmentation in Jesus Christ or the Word of God where all truth is found. You can't divide them. You can't take a portion of Scripture and say, well, I believe this, but I don't believe that. Truth cannot be divided. Either evolution is true or biblical creation is true. You can't have one without the other. You can't divide the Word of God. They cannot both be true. If you believe one, then you must unbelieve the other. And you and I as Christians know where the truth regarding creation is found. And when the Bible says God breathed into man the breath of life and man became a living soul, that's truth. And that's biblical creation. So truth does exist and can be known and can be experienced. Because God is truth. And he is the source of all truth. And there is no truth outside of God. And this is precisely what Pilate desperately needed to know. And it was standing right before him. But look, don't condemn Pilate too greatly, because that's happening again and again and again every day in which we live. There's the truth, and people aren't willing to admit it and see it. Now, we have considered the absence of truth and the attributes of truth. I want you to think in closing of what I'm going to call the abandonment of truth. Now, I want you to turn just a few chapters over, a chapter over, to chapter 19 and verses 16 and 18 of John, where we read these tragic words of what Pilate did with Jesus when he was not willing to face the truth. In chapter 19, verse 16, "Then delivered he him therefore to be crucified. And they took Jesus and led him away where they crucified him." Now, here we find the terrible outcome of what happens when Pilate rejected the man of truth, and not only the man of truth, but the message of truth. Now, let me reconstruct the scene. After the Sanhedrin had condemned Jesus to death for blasphemy, Jesus was led to the palace of Pilate. And since it was the week of the Jewish Passover festival, and the Jews would not contaminate themselves by entering the unclean house of a Gentile, and Pilate wanting to keep peace with the Jews, he came out to meet them. And since only the Roman officials had the authority to put criminals to death, the Jews first requested, and then they demanded Pilate to have Jesus executed by crucifixion. Now, what a scene. Here's the humble Jesus and the proud Pilate. They face each other. And we have one of the most intensive and provocative encounters in all of the Bible. And we have Pilate facing Jesus, and notice he asked the question in verse 33, "Art thou the king of the Jews?" And without any hesitation, Jesus admitted that he was king. And I want you to know, a king that was far greater than the kingdom of the Roman Empire. But certainly not the kind of king that Pilate was thinking that he wanted to Jesus to be. And as the certainty of Jesus' innocence became increasingly clear to Pilate, the struggle within his soul intensified. There was a battle raging. And as the pressure of the scribes and chief priests for Jesus' blood kept mounting, Pilate finally gave in to their demands and threats. And for the sake of saving his own skin, he decided to have Jesus crucified. Now listen to me. The central issue in Pilate's struggle with Jesus was the question of truth. What was he going to do with truth? And that's the same question that you and I are struggling with every day of our lives. And Jesus said, if you want to know the truth will set you free. It could be the truth about man. It could be the truth about Christ. It could be the truth about heaven or hell. It could be the truth about the church. It could be the truth about how you ought to live your life. But you must be willing to face up to the truth and where it's found. And when he asked Jesus directly, "Art thou a king?" And Jesus unhesitatingly answered him, "You say right." Pilate neither understood nor accepted the truth of Jesus being king of an everlasting kingdom. And that was his downfall. That was his downfall. The rejection of truth is found in Jesus Christ. You study the life of Pilate, and you would find that he had every opportunity of making the right decision if he really wanted to do. But he wasn't willing to face up to the truth. So in reality, we realize this. He didn't want to face up to the truth. He wanted only to save his own neck and retain Caesar's favor. So Jesus rebuked him with the words found in verse 37. Jesus said, "To this end was I born, and for this cause came I into the world, that I should be a witness unto the truth. Everyone that is of the truth heareth my voice." And I say to you this morning that truth-loving and truth-desiring, if you have that truth-desiring mind, you will behold Jesus Christ. And when you behold Christ, you will find the truth about God, the truth about himself, the truth about life, and the truth about all of the higher values of life, because it's found in him. But Pilate's mind was not interested in the truth, like many people today. And that same sin is being committed as we live in the 21st century. Have you ever asked yourself the question, what is the reason why people will not face up to the truth? And they like to make it relative. No absolutes. Everything is changing. Nothing is eternal. You ever wonder why? I think we know why. You want me to tell you what Jesus said? Listen to what Jesus said. It's found over in John chapter 3, verse 20 and 21. You don't have to turn to it. But listen to what he said. Because let us never forget that Jesus was the light of the world. Where there was darkness, he brought light. Where there was darkness regarding life, he brought light. Where there was darkness and not knowing which way to go, there was light. Where there was darkness regarding moral questions, Jesus gave light. He told you what to do and how to live, how to treat your husband, how to treat your wife, and how to be a good church member, and how to treat one another. He gave light. And then he made this statement. the reason. They hate the light because they want to sin in the darkness. They stay away from the light for fear their sins will be exposed and they will be punished. But those who do what is right come to the light gladly, so everyone can see what they are doing, what God wants. The King James puts it this way. The reason that people don't come basically to church and hear the word of God, or they don't accept Christ to be their Savior, or they don't live up to the standards of the Ten Commandments, or they're always changing because truth to them is relative, not eternal, not binding, not lasting. The King James says that they love darkness rather than light because their deeds are evil. And that's the reason that most people are not willing to answer the question, what has ever happened to the truth? Because they don't want to face up to the truth, because the truth shows them what they are in the eyes of God. And that was Pilate's fault. So we close the message as we began with these facts, and you ought to get them down. God is truth. And all truth is God's truth. And there is no truth outside of God. And you and I, as Christians, must live and walk in the truth as it is revealed in Jesus Christ, the truthful one, the ultimate source of all truth. For Jesus himself said, "If ye continue in my word, then are ye my disciples indeed. And ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall set you free." Think of it. Freedom from the bondage and the guilt of sin. That's the fifth freedom. That's the greatest freedom of all, from the tyranny of sin and knowing that your sins can be forgiven and God can give you purpose for living and eventually a destiny in heaven. All because the truth was revealed in all of its fullness, in Jesus Christ. I want to tell you something. Jesus Christ is everything to Christianity. Hold tenaciously onto him. He's everything. He's even in the word Christian, Christ, one in whom Christ dwells. Shall we look to the Lord in prayer?